which of these three, Jesus asked, was neighbor to the robber's victim? Anybody ever here have been to a Jewish synagogue service? A group of us from here went about, 6 weeks ago, we went to the temple one Friday evening for their welcoming the Sabbath service. That's the first time I'd ever been to a Jewish service myself. They belong to the Reformed side of Judaism. When we got there, we could sit anywhere we wanted to. That's quite a number of seats, and we didn't have to sit in any special place. They welcomed us very kindly, and we sat with them. But understand, if you go into a ultra-Orthodox synagogue, and this would have been just like it was back in the time of Jesus, that when you come in, they sit in an ordered community, that there are three different places to sit. And when you come in, they'll ask you which one you're supposed to sit in. There's one for the priests. Now, that's an inherited dignity. They're not ordained to be priests, but the priests and those who have inherited that in the Orthodox Jewish tradition are the ones who, in part of the service, rise and give the blessing to the people. Or they might ask, are you one of the Levites? Have you inherited the dignity of that? There was one tribe of Israel who's out of the 12 tribes, one tribe that had the responsibility of carrying on the temple rituals and the synagogue rituals. So they had a place for the priests, people who had inherited that dignity. The ones who had descended, they believe, from the tribe of Levi, the Levites. Of course, everybody else that comes is Israel. They're members, they believe, of the chosen people, the nation of ancient nation of Israel, the people of God. So most of the seats are for everybody else who belong to Israel. So they're the priests, the Levites, and Israel. And that's quite a dignity to them, to belong to those chosen people of God, they believe. And throughout life, they would have heard, that division of God's people: priests, Levites, and Israel. Yeah, the Israelites, our kind of people, the people who have the true and right worship from God, the people who keep the law, the people who, follow God's ways. So it's no slight to be the people of Israel, the priests, Levites, and Israelites. You've heard back in the time of Jesus that division of the people of God as an ordered community. So keep that in mind: priests, Levites, and Israel. So this scholar of the law, and you know this story, you've heard it since you were knee-high to a duck, as they say, this story where the man goes on the trip from Jerusalem down to Jericho and gets the robbers come out from behind the bushes and beat him up, rob him, strip him half naked, leave him bleeding, bloody and beaten, over, throw him in the ditch. And the first one who comes along is a priest. The priest he's the one that has the blessing for God's people and the religious duties. And he can't do anything to make himself unclean, that is, or to be unable to perform the duties as a priest to give the blessing to the people. So he looks over in the ditch there, and maybe the man's dead. He doesn't know. And it was, you know, the law says a priest wasn't supposed to touch a dead body. Otherwise, he'd be unclean and he'd get back, and he couldn't serve in the temple or anything like that. So he kind of looks over there and pretends like he didn't see it and go over to the other side of the road. And, well, maybe he won't see me. And so he goes on. And here comes a Levite. Oh, good man, you know, these Levites, they have a special way to serve God and serve God's people. He must be a good man. And what does he do? He looks over in the ditch and thinks, man, well, maybe if I just cross over, maybe he won't see me and I'll go on down the road. So there's the priest goes by, the Levite goes by. Then the people, you know, they're listening to this story, and who's going to be the next one to come by in their minds? An Israelite, one of the chosen people of God. Oh, these good people, our kind of people. The next, if there's been a priest and a Levite, sure, the next one's going to be an Israelite. You know, those chosen people of God, one of us. And they'll do the right thing. But Jesus says, then came what? A Samaritan. Ooh, yuck! You wouldn't want anything to do with Samaritans. They were those nasty people that lived up north. They were kind of half-breed Jews that belonged to the wrong church. They didn't worship in Jerusalem. They worshiped up on a mountain. And they got it all wrong. Besides, they were nasty. You weren't supposed to have anything to do with them. If you were lying beaten up in the ditch and you saw a Samaritan coming after you, no, don't let him touch me. You know, it's kind of what we call prejudice, isn't it? And the people listening to Jesus' story would think, what on earth, a Samaritan? Those nasty people? But which one is the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Jesus apparently could look at Samaritans without prejudice. He could see that they had some good in them. And he confronts this, the prejudice of this scholar of the law, you know, asking this question, who is my neighbor? You know, he wants Jesus kind of confirm his prejudices, and Jesus say, oh yeah, you should only have to do with Israelites. You don't want to touch those Gentiles or have anything to do with those Samaritans, even the Greeks and the Romans. You just don't want to touch those foreigners. We live in our gated community of Israel and keep all those the nasty people out. So this man must have been kind of taken aback that a Samaritan came along. And Jesus kind of leads him to say, well, this man must be the neighbor. You know, we could do the same thing. You know, we could say, you know, here's a story about a man that gets beat up and needs somebody to take care of him. And here this Catholic priest comes along. Oh, they're good. Oh, they're so holy. Surely he'll do the right thing. But the priest passes on by. Well, who else? Maybe a deacon. Oh, deacons, they know the Word of God, and they're supposed to help in the church, and they're generally pretty good folks, so maybe he'll do the right thing. So the priest goes by, the deacon goes by, and you think, well, maybe one of those good Catholic faithful people of God will come along. You know, our sort of people. But if you reach into your prejudices, who could, if you told the story, if you reached into your own prejudices, I could, and put the third person there, who's it going to be? Not those good Catholic people, our kind of people. Think of people you wouldn't I can reach into my prejudices and find some. I bet you could too. What if the third person in the story is a member of that other political party? What if the third person in the story is something, what do you call it, LGBT? LGBTQ? Could you put that as the third person in the story? Or people who speak English with a different accent? People who come from other cultures, maybe Muslims? What if the third one is a Muslim? Who's going to be the neighbor? I bet you could, like I can, I bet you could look into yourself and find plenty of prejudices that we could put in that story, you know. Could they be the neighbors? You know, some people look at us with prejudice too. You ever heard any anti-Catholic nastiness spouted out? Sure you have. Some people look at us like that. And that doesn't keep God from looking into our hearts with love, does it? But that's the way God looks into everybody's heart, is with love. That's the only way you can go into somebody's heart, is with love. If you go into somebody's heart without love, it'll be a disaster. But God always comes into our hearts with love. That's why God can see us for who we are, who we really are, who God made us to be. If God can do that for us, He can do it for all those other people too. No matter how nasty, no matter how ugly, no matter how prejudiced we might be against them. You know, God, you remember the story of the choice of David as the king of Israel, you know. The prophet Samuel came to his father Jesse and said, God wants one of your sons to be the king. And so Jesse starts with the oldest, and they're all big and strong, and they come. And Samuel says, no, he's not the one. They bring the next one. No, he's not the one. They go through all the ones that are there. And Samuel says, well, don't you have any other son? I said, yeah, but he's just, you know, the little shepherd boy. He's out keeping the sheep. Samuel says, bring him here. He says, God says, human beings look on the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart. God looks into the hearts of all of us, whether we think we belong to the right sort of people or not. God looks into the hearts of all those who are His children. That's the way Jesus looked, both at this scholar of the law and the Samaritans that He saw from time to time. We're here to become like Him. We hope every time we leave Mass, we're going to be a little more like Jesus. God looks into our hearts here. And the only way to respond to God's looking with love into our hearts is to return that love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if we do that, we got to love our neighbor as ourselves. Which of the three in Jesus' story and yours is neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Who is my neighbor?